disappointing moment for Samuel. He realizes that Saul is not going to receive the Lord's blessing, so Saul is not going to be the successor of his throne. And all of a sudden, God does kind of a turnaround, and he says, hey, I'm going to go choose some random. Now, we know that he wasn't thinking that. God knew it wasn't random. It was specific. There was a very important back to this, and we're going to study this as we go along. But we know here that Jesse is going to present his children. And so we get into this, and Samuel's here, and he's listening to the Lord, and he's going to look at Jesse's children. And obviously, if we look at Old Testament history, if we look at what it means to have someone inherit stuff, usually in the Old Testament, they would do what? They would choose the firstborn. But we're going to see today how beautiful it is that God can use the most unique, most unexpected person to fulfill his will. And so if you have that, I would encourage you at home to stand to honor the Lord in his word and in his reading of his word. And we're going to start here at verse 6. When they came, meaning when they got to Jesse's home, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed firstborn, it's got to be, is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, here's where it starts to get funny. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not, now church, this is a scripture we're going to hold on to today, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature. Man, so don't look at what's in front of you. He's saying, I want you to just avoid that. In fact, don't even act like it's there. And see, again, this reminds us when we look at our body, we know that God's not going to look at the physical. He's going to look into our eyes, to the heart. And so here he says to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. Man. How often are we rejected because of our looks, because of our stature? And see, what God was saying is that it has nothing to do with that I reject him today. It has to do with his heart. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's a conviction for all of us. But the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen him. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. But behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said this, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now, church, what's interesting here is that this was not normally, this would have been a big deal. People would have been there. There would have been celebration. But here we find just Jesse, the brothers, and here's Samuel in this small crowd. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. It's an interesting scripture. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. God, today we pray that you would just anoint the reading of your word. We pray this morning, God, that we would, even though this is different, God, that we would allow your word to penetrate our heart. God, that we would take it as our inheritance, that we would take it as our truth. And that today, Lord, we would leave this gathering, wherever that gathering may be, ready to embrace your feelings about who we are in Christ. Continue to keep the enemy bound in the name and power of Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's review for a second. Y'all can be seated, get back in your comfortable spot. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Now, I thought about this a lot this week. And I think had we obeyed the Lord many, many years ago, now, honestly, we're at in a new place where we're attempting to look at people from the inside out, and yet still our society has a hard time doing it. In fact, I was thinking this week that if we held onto this scripture that happened so long ago, that was spoken so long ago, where would we be with prejudices? Where would we be with racism? Where would we be with judgment? See, unfortunately, most of those things have occurred because of the outward. Church, God was on to something. I wish that we could have been on to something a long time ago. Our relationship with the divine is sourced from this one principle. Well, what do you mean? There's so many principles. We've got to get this one, though. In order to understand our relationship with the divine, we have to get this passage, meaning Christians have to get past the outward. And you say, well, Pastor, you're talking this series is supposed to be about my body and how I can see myself better and how I can. Okay, well, if your heart is pure, where the seat of your emotions and your feelings are, and the seat of all that you act on is, imagine how different you would feel about your body, about yourself, about others around you. And see, the one key here is that the divine looks at the heart. Aren't you glad today that the divine looks at the heart? Aren't you glad today that all those things that have been said about you, and let's just go at it first with the negative, all those negative things that have been said about you, about your outward appearance, at some point in your life, all of us could recognize a moment where our outward was focused on, wouldn't it be great if we could just let those things go and begin to see and look like the divine sees and looks? And he looks at the heart. This statement here, this bears weight in all parts of our relationship with the divine. Church, unfortunately, so often, even the church, we've gotten sidetracked on the outward instead of the inward. So obviously, we know that well, and I know you know that well. So let's get into some things here. We're going to go from the negative side of this scripture to the positive side. So it's going to get worse before it gets better. And since you're home in your recliner, hey, it shouldn't be too bad, right? Sipping your whatever you're sipping and snacking. Now listen, when we get back to church, we might have to, I'm just kidding, adjust some rules because y'all are going to get used to eating and drinking and, you know, I'm just kidding. I want you to think about this. So this scripture obviously kind of goes against the norm of the day. I mean, we think about it. The firstborn was significant. We go all the way into the New Testament when Jesus speaks about adoption. And he says adoption gives you the same rank as the firstborn. And so we know that as we're adopted, as we receive salvation, that we're adopted into the kingdom of God, and we receive, which is an Old Testament practice. It's why kids did not like their parents to adopt in the Old Testament, because all of a sudden they got as much as the firstborn got. And so all of a sudden we see here that it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter rank. It doesn't matter when. It doesn't matter that he was the last of all Jesse's children. That didn't matter. It also didn't matter about Jesse's rank in society. He was not like this influential person in society. Guess what? David was working the flocks, the fields. So when we think about this, he isn't concerned about where we rank in society. To him, we're all. We also have to know that our history does not define our future. Now, that's a very easy statement. Many pastors say it. We say it over and over again. But if you look at the lineage, and in your study guide, you're going to look at the lineage of Jesse, and you're going to see that Obed and Ruth, they're back there in his lineage, his grandmother. And here we know, think about it, they were very humble people. We're not talking about, now Boaz wasn't actually blood, and so we're not talking about some people here that just had an incredible lineage. No, we're talking about a humble start. So it doesn't matter if you were in the church from when you were a baby and your family was, that's great if they were and that you're still holding on to the faith, praise the Lord. But we can know today, if no one in our family has ever known the Lord, then we can know him because he's not concerned about that. The Lord does not look to one's personal fortune. Jesse, nowhere in the scripture does it ever say that Jesse was a wealthy man. He was just a man. we also know the Lord does not look to one's physical, fleshly being. Now you say, wait a minute, he was a kind of a tough guy. He was working out in the field. He was strong. In fact, it says in the scripture he was good to look at. But here's the thing. The Lord prefaced it by saying the eyes. He looked at his eyes. And when you translate that in the scripture, you find out that the Lord was actually saying as he looked into his eyes, he saw straight to his heart. And so the Lord was being specific here and reminding us that he went past all of that and right into his heart. So we begin with kind of the negative, what the Lord would not and what he doesn't still look at. Let's look at the positive side. Are you ready for this? And remember to comment, throw in there some things, maybe some things that you've let go of that other people have communicated to you that isn't positive. And remind yourself today that God is looking in the heart. So think about this. So by the Lord saying this, and I kind of stepped you into this, but when the Lord said the eyes, there's something to that. And so he went to the positive side here. And if we understand how the Lord sees us, okay, all of a sudden the entire nature of David was brought into view. Well, we could look throughout Scripture. There are many times when the Lord went and looked into the heart of a person. We just got done this past year talking about Mary. And that God was looking into Mary's heart. He was looking into the depths of who she was. In fact, he was not only looking at her in that day, he was looking at her for some time. It was through observation that he really got to know the heart of Mary, really got to get into the heart of who she was. And here we see that God got into the heart of all of which David was. And so think about this. Before the Lord, our entire nature is pulled out. And guess what? For relief's sake today, that has nothing to do with the outside. See, the Lord was saying that I am looking at the nature of this guy. And he's somebody, now we're not saying that he's mistake-free, but he was somebody, and we all know this, that was after the Lord's heart. So think about three things here. The first is outward appearance. And thankfully, you have this to read and read over and read over. But I want you to just think about this statement for a second. Outward appearance. If we find outward beauty and in that discover, it is nothing more than an appearance rather than a reality of true manner and deed, it quickly tires us. Now, I say this, now I was not like some kind of handsome dude. And I just wasn't, and I'm still not, and so it takes a lot of work to get here, you know, a lot of shaving and all that. But anyway, I sent Brian and Abby this week a picture that we had, somebody from our church, Mr. Mike, sent us, and it was us 7 years ago, and we looked like, what did we look like, honey? We were starving. It looked like we were starving. I had just gotten out of the Army a couple years before, and I was still into the habit of that. All of my clothes were baggy, and I just looked like I was starving. Anyway, a lot has changed since then. I'm obviously not starving now, even in the midst of the coronavirus. I'm not starving. But there were times where I dated people, and I can remember this one time, and I won't say specifics, but the only reason I was dating her, and I knew it when I stepped into it, it was because of what I saw, right? Well, that was her too, but we'll excuse that one because then it got to more than that, you know, with her legs and all that in the choir and her little pencil skirt the first Sunday that I saw her, you know what I'm saying? Because she used to work for the state and that day you wore pencils. Is that what it's called, a pencil skirt? It was modest. It was very modest. I went to her knees. So anyway, but I looked at her outer appearance, and it was like within 2 to 3 weeks, I was saying to myself, why did I encourage the third date, now the fourth date? I don't even like who she is. And that's terrible to say, but what was coming out was not meeting with my spirit. All of a sudden, these things that she was saying was like, wait a minute, I can't hold on. I don't. And how do you go to somebody and say, hey, I just don't like what, and it has to do with your heart. I mean, you're beautiful, but man. And see, what happens is quickly, as the Spirit worked on me, it began to wear me thin. And I am not one to say no. I'm not one to hurt somebody. And so it was always hard for me to break up with somebody. But when the Lord spoke, I knew that this was not who God intended for me. And then I had to start the long process of me trying to let her down, and then I didn't let her down. And I've told you this, and you just shake your head because it's ridiculous, because it took me longer to break up than we ever dated. And anyway, hopefully she's not watching, but right, who knows anymore. But I want you to think about this, church. When people have something in their heart that if God were to look into it and pull it out and look at the nature of it, and it's not his nature, and if your nature is looking just like him, there's going to be some, and all of a sudden you're going to get tired, because maybe that somebody is somebody that you're really connected to. Maybe it's somebody you're bound to that you can't get away from. Maybe it's somebody that engages you every day that you have no way to get out of. And see, that's why the Lord tells us from the beginning to look at the inside. And then when we get to really looking at the inside and we're not in a real personal relationship, we can be the people that guide, help, encourage, and then it doesn't tire us. I want you to think about this. I don't know if you've ever done this, and I do this because I'm kind of a stalker, and I don't have Facebook for that reason, because I just can't not obsess. And so you meet somebody, you go right into Facebook and start looking for them. And so instead I just say to my wife, hey, could you do it? And she'll say, I thought you got rid of it for that reason. And so she says no, thankfully. But have you ever gone to, I'll go to a seminar or something, and a pastor will be sitting there, and they share these great things they're doing, and I'm like, yes, let me have your name and your website. And I did this recently. I went to the website, and the stuff was from 2016. And I said, well, this isn't helpful. That's not what they're doing now. And I kept on checking, and then I would refresh it, and I said, well, all that he said, sorry to throw you under the bus, but all that he said was not evident in what he was putting out. And I don't know about you, when you go to websites and it's so old and you want to get current stuff, it's frustrating. And I want you to think about this. When we don't update our website, when we don't make changes, and our website was supposed to go live, but it'll be this week sometime. We had a password problem. But think about this. When we're not looking at really the reality of who someone is, and all of a sudden we realize as we get to know ourselves maybe or someone else, and we begin to realize that the content isn't true. So what we saw on the exterior, as we get to know that person, we realize that that doesn't line up with. All of a sudden, we realize that the relevance, meaning that active communication, that active nature being reformed every day to the Lord, is no longer. And then all of a sudden, we realize we can't trust the source because the nature of that source isn't the nature of Jesus. And see, in the church, we've done a great job of casting an outward covering over the inward nature that isn't true, that isn't relevant, and that can't be trusted. And we have to begin to take that off. And you say, what does it have to do with the body? Well, my goodness, I believe that as we take that outward, as we take the content that's not true, that's not from the Word, that's not from His Spirit, and we cast that out, we become more like Him. We become more content with who we are. We become more okay with our bodies. When we begin to get relevant, meaning we begin to get into the Word, and all of a sudden the Word's speaking to what's happening right now, all of a sudden people see that, and they can see into our heart, and our nature is more like. And then all of a sudden, as we get closer to Him in that, we can be more trusted because we're closer to the Word. And see, when we're living in the Spirit, we can see those things. And see, what was happening was that Samuel was being used by God, and he could see through. So all of a sudden, Samuel was seeing through God's eyes, hearing His voice, and responding to Him. Because honestly, had Samuel gone there in his humanness, the firstborn would have been the most obvious choice. In fact, it says in the scripture when you translate it, this was a dude of like, he obviously didn't look like me. He probably knew how to do stuff. He knew how to work. He was built well. And so all of a sudden, Samuel said, no, that's not it. I can't look at that. And the Lord reminded Samuel not to think on that. I'm going to give you a second. So I know you're home. Now don't click off of the live. but I want you to Google Imperial Crown Flower. Real quick, Imperial Crown Flower. Most of you that are farmers, you know this flower. But there's something key about this flower that I want you to hold on to. So Imperial Crown Flower, look it up really quick. Look it up. Show your kids, show your youth, show your neighbor. You should have done it by now because Google's quick. It's beautiful, isn't it? It kind of hangs like this. I didn't want to give a picture because I wanted you to look for it. There's different colors. There's red, and at the end, it looks real pretty. And what's interesting about it is that if you don't like somebody, well, think about this first. You don't normally get an imperial crown flower in a bouquet of flowers, right? You don't see those in bouquets. Why? Because if you put it inside your home, the aroma is so strong and so nasty, you've got to kick it out. Are you with me here? And so the reason you don't see it in bouquets inside is because when it gets inside, all of a sudden, that aroma, when it's caged in like that, gets bad. I want you to think about this for a second. We can look great. Our body can be immaculate. But when our heart isn't right, the aroma that God sees is not the aroma that matches His. And see, God sees beyond the outside. God sees our level of commitment. God sees the disposition of our hearts. Church, in order to understand our bodies in relation to who Christ wants us to be, in relation to how He's created us, we have to know that His desire is to get inside. Because He wants to know, He wants to see, He wants to sense, He wants to smell the aroma, and that all comes from our heart. So what is all this? Well, let's first look at integrity. Y'all know what integrity is? It's probably one of the words or one of the things that most people want to achieve, and yet I believe in our society today, so few are actually achieving it. I always say, or my dad always said, that integrity was like, if you said it, you meant it, and then if you said it, you meant it, and then you did it. And so it's kind of like my wife said, your side of the bed where your closet is looks like a hill. And it was a hill, but not as of yesterday. It wasn't. And I kept saying to her, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And finally she said, I don't think you're going to do it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I actually did it yesterday. Cleaned all that up and got it straightened up. And so all of a sudden what I said, I did. So it showed her that I meant it. And so when you look at integrity, actually here, the way you translate it in the Latin, it's talking about being whole. Now, many of you are going to say, well, Pastor, you talk about holiness a lot. Well, because it often comes up in the Scripture. In fact, it comes up more than many of us would like to admit. And so here we see, even in the words, when we take it into the New Testament and we look at the way Jesus kind of interpreted this, we see that, again, He's talking about integrity. He's talking about this whole person. In the Latin, it means whole. Jesus looks at the wholeness of one's nature. And when you think about nature, that's like your setup. That's your structure. That's what your insides look like. If they were laid out and put on a chart, that's what it would look like. And Jesus is saying to us, He desires us through His power and His presence to be whole. And see, when we're whole, we live a life of holiness. And then all of a sudden, the things that we struggle with when it comes to the physical aren't as big of a deal. I was looking this week, in fact, in January when I had looked through this series, I was looking at the studies when it comes to women and men and how they view themselves, and I was astounded at the percentages. They were in the 80% that women look at other women and they judge themselves, not that woman, but themselves based off of the other woman. 83% of women do that. Men, they look at the masculinity of another man, 60-some percent. And they judge themselves on, and all of a sudden we recognize that even in the church, in the studies, it's the same. And it reminds us again that this scripture is spoken so long ago about a man that was going to do great things for the Lord, that God was saying, I'm going to look to his heart, not to his. And church, if we're going to get to wholeness, we've got to even stop comparing ourselves to others in the physical. Now, we're not talking the spiritual, because that's different. There's people in my life right now that I look up to in the spiritual, that when you pour their nature out, I want to know how they got there. I want to know how their nature is that, because I desire that. So think about this for a second, a couple of statements here. Jesus registers us by our soundness. When you look at this passage, somehow, some way, he found David to be sound of mind. He looks at our genuineness. He saw that David was genuine. He wants to see that you're genuine. And by our entire character, known and unknown, is how the Lord's going to look at us. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Here's what's interesting. You're going to look at this in your study guide that you've received. But I want you to think about all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came on David and it stayed with him. What's interesting is that we also know that the Spirit of the Lord was removed from Saul and it was replaced by an evil spirit. Church, when we step away from his wholeness, it has to be replaced with something. Anytime we step away from something, something has to come in that place. And so church, as David held on to all that God had for him in that moment, the Spirit of the Lord left Saul and evil entered him. Think about some things that happened in David's life from there. And then I want you to think about, really think about, as you look at your nature in light of his nature, what could it be if you held on to his nature henceforth or from this point forward? He became the shepherd. He became the caretaker. He became the future shepherd that would care for the people of God. He also became someone who spoke songs of praise. Well, he spoke a lot of songs. Through some of his decisions, some of his songs reflect that hurt and that pain that he experienced because of his decisions. But many would say he is the songist or psalmist of the Word of God. He became the leader of God's people, and he also became the leader of the plan for them. See, God gifts us with the plan when our nature reflects him. He became the example that God's judgment does not come from the exterior, but rather from the heart. So we even see when God's judgment came on David, it had nothing to do with his outward appearance, but everything to do with what was coming out of his heart. And so back to your body, my body. Church, when we just commit to the creation that he's created, and we commit to a life of receiving his nature, our perception of our bodies changes. Our perception of our bodies go from the exterior to how will I use my exterior to glorify. Think about this last statement here. Outward appearance cannot predict whether someone will faithfully obey the Lord, for a person's actions flow from his heart. And church, everything that you are, everything that you will be, is going to come from an outpouring of your heart. So if you struggle with body image, if you walk in a room and begin to scan people and say, oh my goodness, can you believe it they're wearing? I don't want to be here. Some of us fear social interaction because we don't want to be compared. And what the Lord is telling us, and I want you to go back to your Bibles here, in verse 7, he says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And here's what I want to say to you today. It's not just about other people. It's about us too. He's calling us to look at our own heart. He's calling us to go past the shell. He's calling us to get Because you know what? Maybe we do have things we've got to work out in the shell. But you know what? When we do those things without Christ, it's all about the shell, not about how Christ can use the shell. And so as you go out, I hope that you will read through that, that you'll continue to pray. But my prayer for you is that especially in this time where we're away from each other and we've got this time to reflect about who we are, I would encourage you to read this and be reminded that he's looking at your nature, not at your shell. And he loves you no matter what the shell looks like. He wants to embrace you no matter what the shell looks like. And the crazy thing is that one day, no matter what your shell looks like, he's either going to receive you or he's going to reject you. And all these sons were rejected because he was looking through the eyes right into the heart. So my prayer for us is that we won't be rejected, but rather that we'll be embraced because of the changes that we're making today. Families, we've got to do better with our kids. We've got to help them to look inside. We've got to correct the mistakes of the past. Too often in the past, and this is what's great about this scripture, is that the Lord said, I'm not looking at how, where, or why you got here, or what your lineage looks like, or what your bloodline looks like. I'm looking at your heart. And church, that tells us that we have to stop looking at the outward. And if we as the church will stop looking at the outward, it's going to change our society. God, today, as we go before you in our homes or wherever we may be in our cars, we may be sitting here, Lord, I just pray that you would begin to teach us, show us, give us a glimpse into what it means for you to look through our eyes all the way into the nature of what makes us who we are. And Lord, I pray today that it would stay in line with you. God, I know that David was a man after your own heart. I know that in those moments that you chose him, that the Spirit of the Lord came on him. And Lord, my prayer is that the Spirit of the Lord would continue to come on us. And Lord, that we could even learn from the mistakes that David made and the heart-wrenching repentance that he showed throughout the Psalms. Lord, let us learn from that and not make those same mistakes. Because what's interesting, God, as I read these scriptures, as I looked at his life, the very way that you started was to say to him, I am not looking at your body, but I'm looking at your heart. And what strayed David away was to look at the body. And see, God gave him a warning right from the start. And God, you're giving us a warning now that we've got to not look at the outward. Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is not perfect. You're creating a glorified body for us that we're looking forward to. And so, Lord, let us look forward to that and let us hold on to the examination that you desire in our hearts. We love you. We praise you. Be with each person out there. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We're so glad that you've joined us. Make sure and spread the word. If you know people that are in need, Wednesday we'll be here from 11 to 1 to pass out essentials such as TP, which is toilet paper. And so if you would encourage people to come if they're in need. If you know of any other needs that we can help with, please let us know. I love you guys. God bless you.